Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Hi.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
Sorry, we had the little interruption. I got kicked out the system. But welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, today's topic, for those people who are joining a little late like I am, sorry for my tardiness. Today's subject is abstinence. And basically, this whole conversation came about because I've been hearing a lot of men and women say that they kind of set up with the dating scene, they're not interested, it's not good. And then I'm hearing some solutions, some people coming up with solutions. So I spoke to this gentleman we're going to speak to tonight, Mr. Troy Graham, and he shed some light about an option, maybe something that might not appeal to everybody, but might appeal to some people as far as dating and relationships and, you know, being sexual and intimate. So I want to start out by saying, again, welcome. This is I am Phoenix, the urban sexologist, and we are on Just Talk About Sex. So today we're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about intimacy or not having intimacy. And person, Mr. Troy Graham, came across my radar in talking about, you know, men relationships. And I thought this was a unique combination on the dating scene. You know, you got people in the poly relationships, people swinging, but rarely do you hear about men being abstinent. And, you know, you hear a lot of women being abstinent, you know about nuns, but rarely do you understand or bump into people on the street that are abstinent, especially as a male. So I spoke to Mr. Graham behind the scenes, and he shed a little light. I didn't want to shed too much light because I'm a talker, so I wanted to kind of be authentic in talking to him. So good evening, Mr. Troy Graham. How is everything?
Everything's great. How are you? Everything's great.
I'm great. I'm excited, and it's crazy because I got a late start with promoting this particular subject, so we might have to revisit it. But a lot of people were pulling me on the sidelines. People are really shy about their sexuality, but pulling me on the sidelines, asking me about this topic of abstinence once I posted it. So can you shed a little light? My first question for you is, how did you decide to become abstinent?
Oh, well, you know, I've always been that guy that's been the good guy, you know. I've been the good guy. I was never the one that really played around on women that much. Either, you know, I would get them and in the long run they would leave, or I got cheated on or something like that. Or, you know, I was putting I'm a friend category or something like that, right?
You are friend zone.
Yeah. Because it isn't like I'm a bad looking guy or something, but I guess I'm just too good of a guy. I've heard that before, but anyway. I heard that. I've always get the, you know, you're a good guy, but. What the butt is?
we're going to dig into that. So, so because you were in this special lane, it's called the special lane.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite being boyfriend material to some women, and being in the friend zone, you decided to become abstinent.
Absolutely not. That's not why.
Okay, what happened? Help me.
That's not why. Okay, well, I was married for a long time, and then we ended up getting divorced. I chilled out for about 2 years, and the third year, I was just, it's like my house became a revolving door, and that really just wasn't me. I was kind of doing it because I was bitter, and you know, when you're bitter and you are miserable, that gives you a lot of confidence, and you attract, like, you know, you attract people like yourself, I guess, right? So I didn't have any issues at that point meeting women, even though I wasn't really spiritually right, but I didn't have any issues meeting women. But it was just that they would meet me, things would happen, and basically I was that friends with benefits dude, because I was fun. But I didn't like that.
You didn't like that.
Like
the feeling of feeling used? You felt used?
No, it's just that, you know, when you're juggling two or three women at a time and it's not in your nature, right? So
yeah.
I didn't dig that because, well, no, the sex was okay, but it was empty. Empty. Mm. Kind of like you just eating to eat, but you don't really get satisfied from the food.
Exactly. I could relate to that.
Right.
So what can you narrow down to what you say exactly was the thing that that made you say, I don't want
to
have sex?
Well, I met a young lady and no, I found that funny, but you know, I actually met a young lady, actually two of them. One of them, I just really had some feelings for that I couldn't deal with. I realized that I deserved to be loved at that point, and I could and I can be loved again, but I came on like a storm with her, right?
So you would overpower her?
Pretty much. I think we basically parted ways, and then I met another one, and she said something to me. We were at her house, and she was saying that she stopped having sex for a while, so I asked her why. And she said, because she got tired of sharing herself with all the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a light bulb came on in my soul after that. I was like, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. And that's
okay.
When I chilled out.
That's
yeah.
When you decided. So was it a conscious thought? Like, okay, today is the 10th. I'm going to stop having sex.
Well, it was a combination of me knowing that I was playing sexual, what's the term, Russian roulette. Yeah,
because
as it stands right now.
Unprotected sex, is that the reason? Or
Bingo. Yeah, because at the time, but I was blessed. I can tell you right now, I'm 40-something. I don't have any diseases. I don't have any drama, and that's the way I like to keep my life.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know what, me and you talked briefly and I shared with you that, you know, I had a moment in my time that I decided to become abstinent and mine was me feeling out of control. So I made a decision and I did have a date. I had a doomsday date and I just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was just wondering if it was the same thing for you, if you just decided like, okay, this is the day I'm going to quit smoking. Or this is the day I'm going to quit women.
You actually said it right. I was feeling out of control, and I was really just feeling, I just wasn't being myself. And, you know, when you could lie to the world, but you can't lie to yourself because it's not going to sit right with you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I was lying to myself. I never lied. I didn't really lie to women. They didn't know about each other, and they didn't have to know about each other. So it wasn't a lie.
How are you lying to yourself, then? If, you know what I'm saying? If don't nobody know but God, I mean,
because if I'm with someone on Monday, then I'm with someone on Tuesday, then I'm with someone on Wednesday, that's just never been me. That's never been me.
Well, weren't you getting, you know, pats on the back from your bro friends and your male friends saying, like, that's the life?
I had a couple that I had two. Well, no, I had one or two close friends. I said to them, I was sharing these things with, and they all told me, "Well, that's not you." But funny enough, they all told me that, you know, keep on telling me the stories because I'm married and I'm basically just loving your stories with all these women. I'm like, really? And of course, I had the cell phone pictures and all that, and da 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 da. So,
hell,
you know.
You were one of those yucky.
No, I didn't send the pictures. Pictures were sent to me. No.
But you showed them.
Exactly. I told you I wasn't in a place where I could be me. I was being somebody else.
Okay, you're going to get a pass for that. You weren't yourself. It wasn't you.
Nah, it wasn't me. It was the devil on my shoulder.
So tell me, how was your first week of abstinence being at? It sounded like you were out of control, maybe an addiction going on. But tell me, like, how was it the first week, second week? Like, for someone who wants to be abstinent, what would you suggest to them? Like, what are they going to experience from your vantage point?
I would suggest them not to think about it. But that's just really easier said than done, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, what did you go through? You
just
didn't think
what
about
did
it?
I go through? I just kind of, I'm kind of a different type of person because I could turn off my emotions and turn and block out the world if need be. I have a lot of practice doing that, so it didn't really bother me. I mean, every now and then I see a lady out the street or somewhere, or you know, someone will spark up a conversation, and in my mind, I'm playing over everything I would do to her or she would do to me. But you know.
So you were, it was a thought in your head. So my mentality is that, like, I'm a foodie. So when I watch TV and I'm trying to diet, it's extremely hard because everything on TV is food. So, you know, as a man, you know,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, you're walking down the street and everything you see is food. You watch TV, it's food. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So as a man, you're seeing all of this food walking around. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine you just saying you just turned it off.
Well, listen, I didn't play any team sports coming up. I used to box, right?
Okay.
And you know, when you box, you have to have that ability. When you get hurt, you have to have that ability to go somewhere and act like you're not hurt or you're going to get hurt, right?
Okay.
And I have that ability to block out, like I said, just to connect my emotions and just not really.
Do you think that's good, though? Like, do you think that's good for
good
you?
Good or bad?
I mean, as a sexologist, my whole thing is about healthy sexual relationships and healthy living. And, mm-hmm. you know, what we didn't tell the audience is that Mr. Troy has, mm-hmm. you know, disclosed to me that he has been abstinent for 6 years, which is the reason why mm-hmm. I was just dying to talk to him. I'm like, I only had a year stint of abstinence, and it came so quickly as it was gone. So 6 years, that's not to sneeze at. That's like kindergarten or something like that. That's pretty much a long time to be abstinent, to not even think about. Well, I'm not going to say think about, but not have, you know, a physical sexual relationship with a woman.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'll just keep going back to the whole thing of my ability to block out the world. Now, I keep saying that. I don't know if that makes me sound like a sociopath or something, but I'm not. I'm just all of us have our strengths and our weaknesses, right?
Yeah, I don't think it makes you sound like a sociopath, but it makes me think that you have a very strong personality, but at the same time, don't block your blessings in relationship.
No. I don't
decipher the two. Most men want to be in a relationship for sexual reasons, not solely companionship. You know what I'm saying? That type of mm-hmm. camaraderie that you have when you have a good relationship. And when you take women out of the mix, especially women that are of a sexual nature, I'm just mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand, like, how are you doing, like, emotionally? Because you do need that. Physically, we as human beings, we do need to have sex.
That's because, you know, I kind of left out another part of the story, right?
Oh, it's going to get you.
Right. I was in a depression, and I didn't value myself. That's why I said I didn't really care for who I was, right?
Okay.
So
you were going to work on yourself first.
Yes, that part I took care of. I value myself. I love myself very much now. But I was in a place where I was broken, in a sense. I was going through things. I was going through some issues that most people go through. We go through a divorce and this, that, and the third, right?
It wasn't woman hatred, though.
It was more or less me questioning, you know, why would this person leave me, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then I had to, first you get bitter, and then you have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. I just got bitter, and then I had to I fell into the whole, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, I'm not, basically, I was seeing myself by the things I didn't have.
Mm.
Because at the time, you know, I wasn't working and all that, and I didn't take into account that I was a single father. I was still keeping a roof over my head, and I was mentoring children. I was doing it. I started a reading program. None of that mattered. Mm. It's just that I really just didn't value myself, so I had to build myself back up, right?
Yeah.
And then, because the truth is, if you don't value yourself, how in the hell are you going to value someone else?
Okay, so you were, at this age, were you like in your mid-30s?
Nah, hold on, I was late 30s.
I'm just trying to get a reference point in case someone is going through those, you know, that you're going through. I went through that period in my early 30s, you know, mm-hmm. I was kind of figuring out, like, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing, because I have been following what other people were saying, and I realized I wasn't happy with that. So I felt mm-hmm. like I needed to get a grip on it. So, you know, this is a woman's perspective. I have to admit, you know, I was pretty much flabbergasted when I found out that a man would be able to have that much control, you know, because we all, you know, it's a stereotype. We right. all say, oh, men can't resist a woman. So, you know, to find one that's doing that, I'm perplexed and I'm very intrigued. So
okay, good.
I'm trying to pick your bones. I'm trying to find out in the space that you were in at that time, you know, maybe someone else was going through that, like, what were the stages? You went through a period where you didn't feel worthy, and then as you start coming out of that, you still felt like you didn't want to have a physical relationship? Because now you're much better.
Yeah, I'm in a much more peaceful place now. I was in a dark place. It's that, you know, once you don't view yourself as worthwhile or worthy or any other negative word you could think of, right? You don't believe that anybody else is going to find any worth in you either. So anybody that wants to spend time with you, you just assume that they're like you, so you treat them as you're treating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then the whole me being strong enough to avoid sex stuff, well, listen, I'm not really avoiding it. It's just that I'm to the point in life where I'm 46, I'm not 26, so I'm not trying to be out there. Like I said, I'm disease-free, drama-free. If I meet you and we share a lot of time together, then hopefully this will be for the long term. You know, I don't want a bunch of dance partners anymore. I'm really tired. So let's just say that.
I actually like that attitude, because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a young man or a young woman, you have, you know, the world is yours. You run out there and you try to have as much sex as possible and, you know, Absolutely. Put all the notches on your belt. And, you know, hopefully in that time you meet somebody special and you settle down, but it doesn't work like that for everybody. Everybody's situation is different. And you get in a place where, you know, you want the things that you're told you're supposed to have. So are you there yet?
Listen, I'm in a great place. I'm in a very peaceful place. I just haven't, okay, I'm going to make it real simple. I haven't met that one yet, but I was just in a relationship, actually. I just ended a relationship. I think it ended in July or August.
It was not a sexual relationship.
No, because we both were kind of in similar places, let me tell you what, there was a lot of heat and a lot of sexual attraction, but she was more or less more into the church than she was in.
Okay.
Do you
tell a woman I'm abstinent?
Yeah, we spoke for a long time. We spoke and we got to know each other up front and all that, right? But I knew that it wasn't going to. She's still a good person. We still cool. We still friends. But I knew in the long run that she loved the fact that I was a good man, but she didn't love me, the man.
I don't know what's wrong with her, but I mean, I wouldn't.
There's nothing wrong with
her. I'm just saying, a good man is hard to find. And if you're really actively looking for a man, I can't imagine a woman just passing that up because God, a figurative person, is more important. But that's a whole nother story, you know. That's a whole nother story. I'm just trying to get to the meat.
Okay. What are you looking for exactly? Because, you know, maybe I'm not answering the question.
No, you are. You have answered it. Because mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions because they're popping into my head. And we actually have some viewers that after we come back from the break, we're going to let them ask any questions they're interested in. Because it's a very interesting topic. You know, a mm-hmm. lot of us as, you know, Americans, as human beings in this weird space that we're in, we don't have a lot of control. We can't stop eating, we can't stop driving fast, and we definitely can't stop having sex. So a person that has that type of willpower is, you know, if you are looking for something special in a woman, what is that? This so special that would make you come out of your shell.
I'm looking for something very simple because I love hard. So whoever I'm with is just going to have to love me as hard and as hard and as real as I love them. That's simple. There's nothing earth shattering or anything in that. I mean, you know, my parents have been married for, I don't know, 40 plus year. I kind of lost track. Let's just put it like that. Right. And I remember all the arguments. I remember all the madness and they still together. Right.
And that's so basically.
Yeah, minus the madness. Well, you know what? I can deal with the madness just as long as in the long run it has meaning and we still together. I can deal with that because at the end of the day, I'm just going to walk away from you if you keep running your mouth. So it doesn't make a difference to me.
You're not one of those men that call a woman, are you?
Yeah, I call you. I'll give you a perfect example of my father, right? I'm going to give you a perfect example of my mom and my dad, right? My mom, she was down at Fordham Road one time buying me some school clothes, right?
Okay.
I wasn't there. She was just buying the clothes and putting it in the trunk. These two cats, this is the story I heard from the police because she came over. These two cats broke into the car, took the clothes out the trunk, started running. She picked up a pipe and took off her shoes and ran down Fordham Road after them and bust them both up to the point where they called the police on her, right? My father, on the other hand, when she would get into one of her moves and want to argue and stuff, he would grab his car keys and say, look, I'm going to go leave. I'm going to go have a drink. Either you're going to stay here and argue by yourself or you're going to come with me. But I'm not staying here to argue with you. And so that's how he handled stuff. So I guess that's where I get it from.
That's more you?
That's more me. I'm calm. I'm not going to. But you know what I love about those women, you know, because I call them, I actually call my mom, you know, the eye of the storm type woman. They're very loyal and they're very loving. You know, they'll stand by you through anything. And I actually love the type of women. I could do without some of the rah, 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 but I could deal with it. I can deal with it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there. That is to be continued because I do have some questions. But we're going to play the music that you like, that you requested from Raheem Divine. What's the name of your song?
Fire We Make, featuring Maxwell. Raheem Divine. Yeah, and you sound so good saying it.
We're gonna go right into your song, and we're gonna come back with more questions for you. So don't try to escape, okay?
I'll be here.
In a place called Loveland. When you do that for me, there's the fire we make. When you say my name, Raheem, that's the fire we make. Like a moth to a flame, the fire we make. Remix, listen.
Hey baby, how you doing tonight? I wanna let you know, I wanna tell you just how I feel. I wanna love you, baby, and it's going so right. I wanna burn a candle, turn this darkness to light. From the fire we made, it's getting hotter and hotter, like a moth to a flame. I can't stay.
Wanna tell me, wanna tell me.
Hello, welcome back. We're here. I'm Phoenix, urban sexologist, and we're talking with Mr. Terry Graham about abstinence. I want to thank my sponsors. I'm sorry, I said Troy.
Yeah, you said, you called me Terry.
I'm sorry. I'm you, not him. Okay. I wanted to thank my sponsors and my radio station, Culture Scene Radio Station, where urban culture meets life, and we're on the radio live. Getting back to the let me revise in case someone wasn't, you know, here. Mr. Graham has made a decision to be abstinent, and so far his journey's been on this, been in this situation for 6 years, and he seems like is very agreeable, and I'm here talking to him about it just to get more insight in case someone is interested in this type of lifestyle or someone is curious about being abstinent. They want to know what it's like, what is it. So what we were talking about was, you know, how it came about. And I have a few more questions in reference to now that you are living this type of lifestyle, being abstinent, what type of relationship can you have with a woman that would lead to being physical with her in a sexual relationship? Besides...
Okay.
My real question is, you know, I'm thinking through my woman's eyes. As a woman, if a man would tell me that he's abstinent, because that's like a major factor in a relationship. You want to make sure the sex is good. How are you gonna find that out if you engage in a relationship with someone who's abstinent? Everything else might be good. He might be financially sound. You might have a good communication. But then if the sex is wrong, you know, how do you get past that?
Mm-hmm. And here's where you're going to call me a hypocrite, but it just comes with who I am. Now, I'm a spiritual person, right?
Okay.
Everything is right, then, you know, then hell, things will happen. But what happens the next day and the next day, you know, that might be something different. Because some people you meet, women, men, whatever, spiritually, you're just on fire for them, let's say, that day, right? Or maybe mm-hmm. that week or that month, and then people move on. If I meet someone like that right now, both our spirits are just evenly yoked and that on fire for it, just feels that right, right?
Yeah.
Then it'll happen. I don't know what's going to happen in the long run, but I'm not so rigid.
I would be scared.
I'm not so rigid there.
I would be scared as a woman to take that type of chance and like someone and not know. It's not even funny, but I was in a relationship with somebody who was mm-hmm. sexually inept compared to me. And even though we had a lot of, you know, everyone said we was a perfect couple in that bedroom, mm-hmm. that's when it went down, and that's when it broke apart. Basically, I can't be with somebody that's not gonna be able to take my stress off.
Well, that's why, I guess in my case, this is me speaking only for me.
Okay.
I prefer to penetrate your mind first. Let's get to know each other like that. So by the time,
how long does that take?
Huh? That can take,
honestly, like you're holding out, like this is reversal.
No, it's everything is, at least to me, it's just life is, everything is spiritual. So it can take, like I said, you can meet someone tomorrow. It could take you can meet someone next week. It could take a month with others. It could take years. It just, you'll just know when it's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way for me to put it. You just know when it's right.
I think that I would know as a woman, but as a man, okay, so I'm not trying to be funny, but you might be a little rusty.
I am rusty. It ain't a little rusty, my day. I am rusty, but that's why you honest up front. That's why you honest up front. And like I said, you know, if I could keep your attention and penetrate your mind, by the time we get together physically, we're going to work this thing out, and it's going to be good. Just that's, I mean... Yeah, I mean, yeah, hell yeah, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm what I was. No. I mean, no. Nah, I'm not that guy where I'm going to lie on myself. No, I'll be honest with you. I'm rusty. You might have to oiling me up a little bit, you know. Yeah, you might have to oil me up. You know, because I'm like that old car you haven't started in a while, but you know, once you get it started, it's going to run for a while. You know, it's going to be right by you. And that's who I am.
Do you get an adverse reaction when you tell a woman that you're abstinent?
No. They seem to be more attracted to that. Some of them.
Some of them are attracted to that?
Yeah, because you know what it is? Women like men like a challenge.
Ooh.
Yeah, because now, you know, I'm not the hunter anymore. I get hunted because this woman is like, okay, let's see if I could be the one that makes him end his abstinence. I'm getting hunted now. I don't hunt.
So is that, ooh, you said you don't hunt. So is that the goal? Like, you want to be hunted? I mean, some men like that.
Most men like that unless you're something else. Most men like that, but that was never my goal. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll stop having sex, and I'm going to add that to my game and say what I'm asking. No, because trust me, you'll find out as soon as we engage in those activities whether I'm abstinent or not. You know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I am something when I'm not something.
Okay.
I'm very straight up. You know, I'm not for the nonsense, like I said. I'm just not for it.
So if and when you get to that point that you meet the right person and, you know, the stars are aligned. Are you just going to say to yourself, okay, let's have sex? Like, how does this work?
I'm not going to have to say anything, my dear, because when it comes to sex, no man is in control of that. You are.
Yeah, but you're not just one person now. You're two because you have a partner. And you have told them that you're abstinent, and maybe you don't like you being abstinent, and you might be ready to move forward.
Okay, but you're still not getting it. When it's that time and things are that hot and heavy and things are that right, there's no words needed. It's just gonna happen. Period.
I agree with you on that. I don't like it when I'm dating someone or talking to someone and everything is about sex because then the relationship is not strong. You know, you've been at one of those dinners where everything she's talking about is her sexual prowess, what she did, what, you know, that's like, I don't even, my thing is everyone is different. Let me experience it for myself.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I mean, I like mystery somewhat. I don't like you to be difficult just to be difficult, but I do like mystery, and that's what challenges me. And I like intelligence.
Have you met the woman that was aggressive when they found out you were abstinent? They were aggressive to try to win the prize and, like, start chasing you?
No, I've met a few like that, but see, they were, I couldn't do anything with them, and not because I was abstinent, it's because you're my son's teacher or you're a parent at my son's school, and, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, no, I don't.
I mean,
that's bad.
I mean, you know, if she was a librarian or a nurse or even a male person, then hell, you know, I could probably get away with that, you know, because I like women in uniform, but I can't mess with my son's teacher, and I just can't do it, you know?
Do you think that being abstinent has turned you into a different type of person because the sex is off the table?
Well, I tell you what, you find out a lot about who you are. I say that much because obviously I know how to talk because me and you have been having a decent conversation, right? So you know how to, you just find out a lot about yourself until it gets to that point. And then you realize, okay, I'm actually a well-rounded person. And I could talk sex and I could talk about whatever, you know. You just get to find out about yourself. Okay, I'll just make it simple.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, I sit in the dark sometimes because I need to write and I need to clear my mind and everything. I'll sit in the dark. not just sit quietly until I'm able to travel the universe and stop writing, right? And that's basically what it, and that's basically what it's like sometimes with me. I'm basically just getting to know myself all over again. I'm in a peaceful place. I'm valuing myself again. And then, you know.
Well, let me ask you this about, I mean, a lot of people say that they're abstinent, but abstinent can mean a lot of things. It could be that you don't penetrate a woman. It could be that you only masturbate. It could be that you don't touch anything sexual. You don't look at any porn. Like, what is abstinent to you?
Well, I'm not a sexual vegan, so, you know, it doesn't, I'm not that person. You know, like I said, it's all spiritual, you know, that if I meet that person tomorrow, let's say I meet it tomorrow, and we just know what we know after talking for a while, then I'm an adult, she's an adult, we'll do the adult thing, and then I could, she'll probably go back to her life, I'll probably go back to my life. It doesn't change who I am, even though that sounds kind of hypocritical, really, when I say it, but it makes sense to me.
Hmm.
Yeah, because
how long do you think you're going to go on with this? Like,
I don't know,
as a sexologist, I always approach things from the scientific facts, is that as a man and as a woman, you need to exercise your parts or you're going to lose your parts, you know?
Is that so?
I hope that you, you know, 6 years, I mean, I hope we're not talking about 2020.
That's so? You sure?
I hope not. For you, I wouldn't want to. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them guys.
I get what you're saying. I just don't agree with you on the whole losing that. Listen to me.
You
when it's No, because it's kind of like riding a bike. You know, it's kind of like riding a bike, really. I'm going to fall a couple of times, and then I'm gonna, then it's going to be a smooth ride, pretty much. You know, I don't. Because most sex mainly starts in your mind first before it even gets physical, at least for men. Because if you can't get aroused, then how are things going to work themselves out?
I agree with that. I'm just saying you have to release. You can't leave that stuff in there. That's toxic. Let go and let flow. You can't just
say,
I haven't found her and I'm going to, you know, torture her.
And again, I'm not rigid. So if you ask me out to dinner, who's to say that I'm not going to say yes?
I don't know. It sounds so random. I thought you had like a scientific thing going on.
I'm very simple. I'm very, very simple. I'm not trying to be difficult or scientific. I'm a simple cat, you know, which is why I'm at peace. I'm simple. I'm not simple-minded, mind you. I'm just simple.
What would make you say, okay, this is definitely not the one? Like, what's the thing as a man to say? You know, being that sex is off the table when you're meeting women, what's a definite no-no?
Well, you know, one of the things I really don't like with women, I don't like women who smoke, so that would turn me off, right?
Okay.
I don't like... Yeah, I don't like women who can out-cuss me. I don't like vulgar women. If you're just vulgar for the sake of being vulgar, then I don't like women who like to demean men, because I've seen that happen before. So that's
what
that's
about
it.
Would you look at somebody outside your race?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, in the long run, I can't see myself being with anybody that's not my ethnicity for a long term, right?
Okay.
Simply because spiritually, I don't think that we're gonna really understand each other. That's why. It's not that I have an issue with anybody, but honestly, I've actually never been with a white woman.
Okay.
It's not like I haven't had opportunities. It's just that I always see myself getting lynched. So that's why I just decided to stay away from him.
Oh, God.
You
know? I don't think
so. You asked and I answered, so yeah.
No, I'm just curious because I don't know, with me it was like a little formula. And my thing was I couldn't be around anything remotely involving sex, that especially in the beginning. And then as time went on, when that situation would present itself, I would just excuse myself. If I realized that's where the person was going, I stayed out of their way until I met a person that made me feel differently. And just like you said, it was just like that. It was a decision that I didn't even think about. I was asking this for like a year and 2 months, and I didn't even think about it. And that's why, you know, as a man, I would think that, you know, you guys might be a little bit more calculating and what, how you do things, especially being abstinent. I would think there would be something. It haunted me all the time. I'm not going to lie. It haunted me. Like, I felt like I was doing something for my good, and you did too. So, but now that you're at the point where you feel like you're doing good, my question is, why are you still doing it?
I haven't met my equal yet.
And if you don't,
I don't ever think about them, because it's, I don't think about that. I don't think about not meeting or not, or what I can't do. No, I don't think about it.
Do you fantasize about her?
Yeah, I fantasize about her.
What does she look like? Like, who is she?
I know who she is.
Okay, so
I can describe her. You want me to describe her?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. Like,
okay,
what would you see and you say, okay, this is the one?
Okay, well, she's a very creative lady, very honest lady. She's dark skin. She's thick, and she has this Facebook show. You want me to keep going? You know I was describing you, right?
I'm just listening.
Yeah,
you know.
But no, you know what?
If you had this situation, that's it.
But no, you know, I kind of reached out to someone. She kind of looks like Queen Latifah. I'll just put it like that. She kind of looks like Queen Latifah. I don't like skinny women because I'm not a vegan. I'm a carnivore, so yeah. So she has some size on her, which is fine with me.
Would that be a note? Would that be a thing that you would, that would turn you off if she was vegan and you weren't?
No. When I say vegan, is that I don't like skinny women. I had an auntie. I'll tell this quick story and get back on the subject. Last time I was in Jamaica, staying at my auntie's house, her friend came over with her daughter, who was close in age with me at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, she was going to the market with her auntie. She was going to the market with my auntie. Then she turns to my auntie and kind of says quietly, "You sure you want? I don't know if I should leave my daughter here with your nephew." And my auntie looks at her and says, "If we come home and catch them in bed, I'm going to have your daughter locked up for rape because she's entirely too small for him. That's not his type."
Okay.
So yeah.
Well,
I don't
have a type. I mean, at least you have an idea of what you're looking for. I just hope that, you know, like a lot of people are out there dating and they're not really sure what they're looking for. That's why it's hard for them to find it.
Well, that's just it. I'm not looking per se. I mean, I have a young lady I reach out to from time to time. I have another one that I talk to. We're friends, you know. We're just kind of not really in a relationship. We just, both of them are good women, you know. Both of them are good women, but
okay.
I haven't reached out to them, and both of them know about me, you know. And she's been sober for 12 years.
She's been sober for 12 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you guys like talk about the fact that both of you are in, you know, that same type of condition? Does that help?
I keep telling her that I'm gonna be the one to end her celibacy, and she laughs and say, "Well, that's kind of funny because you got to end yours first."
Oh, God.
So,
yeah. Why has she been celibate for so long? I know a lot of women, you know, could be celibate. She probably my grandmother was celibate for many, many years. It's not too unusual to see a woman like that. But it's unusual to see a man like that, unless he's like a man of God.
No, this friend of mine is a very, she's a giver. She's the one in the family everybody would come to when they need help and da-da-da-da-da. She was divorced, she got married, and I think she went through some other things, and I think she just kind of locked herself away, but she's still a beautiful person, very beautiful person. And I asked her that the other day, and she said, I don't even know why I've been celibate for that long. I've just been that way. And I said, okay, well, you know. But she's been hiding away for a while, and I think eventually she's going to come out. And, you know, all I can say is God bless the man if she comes out, too. So that's a whole lot of passion. So, yeah.
Well, we are going to slow it down, the conversation. I want some final words from you. What would you tell someone, you know, a bit of a word of advice, someone who's, you know, in this lifestyle that you have chosen, as maybe words of encouragement? Because sometimes, even not even just the sexual part, not having a partner, you know, to share things with can be difficult, especially if you're older, you know, and you're seeing people around you, people in your age group, people at work that are in relationships, that can make it tough. So what, you know, from your experience 6 years in, what would you tell a person that, you know, maybe just said to themselves, like, my life is spiraling out of control. I've been, you know, being abstinent for maybe like a month. Like, what would you tell them?
Well, the first part about your life spiraling out of control, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them that you should let yourself fall. And once you fall, you got to find the strength to pick yourself up. Because, you know, I grew up in a house where my uncle was an addict. And he had to fall to find himself again, right? So you got to let yourself fall. As far as being celibate or abstinent, you have to be honest enough with yourself and say, okay, well, this is something I want to do for right now, or this is something I'm doing because. Don't just do it because you're upset, or don't just do it because, you know, you came out of a bad place for somebody else. Do it because it's something that you feel that you need to do until you get where you need to go.
I think that's really good advice. I really want to thank you for being so candid with me and opening up about something that people are very squeamish about, extremely shy about sharing, you know, their personal life. So I really appreciate you taking the time out this Sunday. And I wish you luck in your yeah, I don't even want to say quest. It's not a quest. Well, in your endeavors, you know, and whatever you decide to do, I hope that the person that you're looking for is right there for you. And, you know, it works out for you. I'm also really happy that you sound like, I don't know, after like a year and two months, I wasn't miserable. But I felt so relieved once I, you know, found somebody that, you know, was able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate your time.
No, you know, thank you for having me.
Do you want to say anything that you feel like might be important?
No, I think you're fine, but other than that, I don't have anything else to say.
Thank you. I'm blushing. Just over here. I appreciate that.
Well, all right then.
Because that was one of the reasons why I was, you know, going down that rocky road, because I didn't feel that way.
Oh, well, no. Well, I can honestly say that I have 20/40 vision, and no, I have 20/20 vision. I see just fine.
You see just fine.
Yes, ma'am.
That's fine. And you know, hopefully we'll get to meet. And you know, when I come down there, I do plan on doing some talks. But I definitely want to thank you for coming on to talk with me about sex. You know how some people get squeamish, and you didn't. You handled it like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure out there, anyone listening or in the future when they hear the rebroadcast, they'll get something out of it because a lot of people are asking me about it. So I would like to say good night to you. Thank you to Cortezine. I'm always getting this wrong. Radio and my sponsors. You got Retro from Phoenix. You got Dolphamax. You got we got a few little sponsors going on now. But I want to thank everybody for listening in. And we'll be in the same place, the same time next week, 9:30, here on Blog Talk. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening in.
All right, have a good night. Come on. Come on.